you've reached the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast.
I'm Matt.
This is Liz.
We spend the whole episode playing Valentine's Day matchmakers with the likes of Amari Cooper, Phil Rivers, Jameis Winston, the Saints' backup QBs, and more.
Listen and leave a message. Sure, why not?
Hello and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Liz Loza here with Matthew Harmon. Brett Rader is here. And wow, we are going to highlight some work of Brett Rader's. But before we do, it's Valentine's Day. Matt, I gotta know, are you like a Valentine's Day guy? Are you into hearts and flowers and chocolates? Or are you like, ew, Hallmark holiday?
No, not really. But I think if you're gonna do Valentine's Day, you gotta do it, you know, be different, be unique, like get your partner something, you know, that matters or kind of, you know, vibe off what they want. Like some people want the whole big Valentine's extravagant thing. Some people just want something chill. And I think if you're in a good enough place with the person that you're with, you should be able to come to some sort of understanding and you know, you should know what the other person wants. The only thing that you can't do, don't be going to the Rite Aid. And I say this because I just went to the Rite Aid for not this reason, but don't go to the Rite Aid and, you know, see every single cheesy like box of chocolates. None of them taste good. The flowers that they got there. Come on, be different. Be unique if you're going to do the Valentine's Day thing.
That's an interesting take. Brett, what's yours on Valentine's Day? This I want to hear.
Your boy is recently single.
I know.
I'm doing nothing. And I love it. I'm loving it. I'm having a great time. I got my dog this weekend. I split custody of the dog. Me hanging out with the dog. Sad dad Valentine's Day on a Friday this weekend.
It is on a Friday this week.
Daddy's going to go to Vaughn's, see what sort of frozen food we got. I'm having a great Valentine's Day.
At least go to like a Whole Foods and go to the frozen food section.
Absolutely not. You and I got to keep going, Matt, because Liz is dead on the floor right now.
I'll tell you what, for Valentine's Day this year, my childhood best friend is flying into town to stay with us for the weekend. So you clearly see where we're at for the...
Oh, a threesome.
No.
Have we done that?
This is his last hoorah, because him and his wife are having a baby in 2 months. So
he chose to have, it is going to be a hoorah. Indeed. Perfectly timed. Well, I will admit it. Like, my love language is gift giving. No, I've not read the whole book, because I think all you need to know are
you just got to the part where it says gift giving can be a love language. You're like, that sounds right.
You've never heard of this book, the love language book?
Oh, maybe. Obviously not.
Yeah, that
again,
might explain.
Stouffer's Valentine's
quite
Day
a bit.
For one.
So there is a book that explains your love language. Some of it is time, acts of service, gift giving. Mine happens to be gift giving. Dudes, you should read this book, because I am telling you, this is one way to get to better understand your lady if you care. If you maybe don't next year or today want to spend the day eating Stouffer's on the sofa with your part-time dog. Regardless, I appreciate getting prezzies for people. Like, I love it. It makes me very happy. I don't even care what I get back. I just like, that's how I like to show my affection, being very creative with that. So
shout out Liz's
like,
gift giving. You're a very good gift giver.
I am
what was
a pretty
it last,
good gifter.
Last, not this past holiday, but the holiday before that, we did a
Christmas.
Holiday special situation. I think five people watched it, but... You were able to help me buy some pretty good gifts for my sister and my mom, especially. They're still way into all that stuff. So you're good at that.
So I like the opportunity to do that. And I also don't like stuff. And at this point in my relationship, I appreciate challenging that SOB to what experience. What are you going to do this year? Top it, baby.
That's a good point.
Keep the spark alive. I want experience. He's a very good cook. So maybe he'll cook something. Maybe he'll get... Good. Take out. I don't want to say anything. He's definitely not listening to someone who I'm saying. But maybe he'll like get some kind of takeout that I like because we're both busy. I don't know. But I want experience and I want to know you thought about it. And then I appreciate. So I will say what I did this year. He and his boys are going to Vegas. And so I got him, they're going to Vegas later this month. And so I got him a gift card to Topgolf because they're staying at the MGM.
It's connected.
Shout out to MGM.
They're staying at the MGM. So that's his Valentine's Day gift. An opportunity for him to hang out and play some golf and or whatever shooting drive and drink some beers with his bros, because it doesn't have to be about me. It's about the other person. Anyway, speaking of the other person and all of this love stuff, we're going to play free agency matchmaker in this segment. And I will add, I know we're taking a while to get here. I'm only on the plane. Here we go. Brett always writes an outline every single episode. Sometimes bullet points, sometimes phrases, sometimes not much at all, depending on workflow. And Matt and I sometimes follow it. Sometimes we don't, depending on time of year, where we are in the season. I am going to read word for word each of Brett's intro pieces to these players. This copy Brett has proclaimed as, yes, as his quote opus.
I texted you guys on Tuesday. I'm writing my opus today. So we're doing a Valentine's Day theme for the episode. We got a bunch of single, soon to be single football players. We're going to see what happens on this Valentine's Day. I hope you, the audience, enjoy.
So this one's for you, Brett, honor of your
This is my Valentine's gift. What did I get you guys? You guys followed the outline. What did I get you?
I opened it in 5 minutes. Yeah. 5 minutes after it hit the inbox, which is by far a world record.
Absolutely.
That said, Philip Rivers, newly single father of 9, loves bolo ties and long car rides. Matt, let's discuss where we would like to match him.
All right. Well, there's conflicting reports about the interest that Tampa Bay may or may not have.
Because of the home he purchased in Northern Florida. Let's be thorough. It is February. Damn it. These people need precise news.
Also, can we talk about the Florida thing, though? Like, Florida's a big damn state. You know,
yeah, but Northern Florida, it's Alabama, basically, right?
This guy's up in the panhandle. That is quite different than Tampa Bay, Miami, all of these other places that we have a Florida football franchise.
Well, okay, I hear you. Geographically, Florida, not a place that I tend to frequent. That being said,
I've been there twice in the last month.
2020 vision, babe. I think because he was willing to travel from LA back down to San Diego, which, you know, is like a 3-hour drive.
Yeah.
People are thinking that perhaps the proximity to Tampa, even considering the commute, is worthwhile.
His film bus. It's no problem.
Right. So I think you and I are probably on the same page, but you're right. There are conflicting reports. ESPN's Jenna Lane said that the Bucks' interest was, quote, legitimate. Mm-hmm. We've heard from other sources that, like, this was just sort of like a buzzy, low-hanging fruit sort of rumor.
Yeah. Now, Bruce Arians has said, I think it was either today that some of the quotes are coming out, like, we need to settle our, like, defensive free agents before we think of the quarterback situation. That at least tells me, like, I think he's definitely open-minded about the quarterback position. I think he might consider Philip Rivers. But to me, I think the one that's the fit that stands out the best, I think, is Indianapolis.
It's what I had on my list. You going to talk about Frank Reich?
Frank Reich, obviously, they've worked together before. Apparently, he's, like, real, like, he has a relationship with the current offensive coordinator there, whose name is escaping me.
Nick something, I think.
Yeah, some kind of Nick. But it makes sense, too, because I think the Colts are still trying to figure it out behind center. I think they like Jacoby Brissett enough to give him a short-term extension, but I don't think he even came close to proving for sure that he can be the guy going forward. I think a situation where Rivers goes out there and finds, you know, a competition with Brissett, maybe that makes sense. It's just tough for me to imagine, like, Rivers. There's not a – in what is by far, like, the fattest, most robust quarterback market that we've seen in a long time, theoretically, it's going to be – there's not that many, like, seats to get. It's going to be a very, like, musical chairs type situation. I think somebody's going to be left out in the cold. Wouldn't totally surprise me if it's Rivers, but of all the fits, I think the Colts make sense. Inside, his arm strength is definitely waning, which is another thing that makes me
You mean because he's in a dome that would be helpful, given his declining arm strength? Yeah.
Man, it's another reason that I kind of like the Tampa Bay fit, and I don't know about that. Like, they want to throw the ball downfield more than anybody. Rivers used to be a very good deep passer, but I think you can see some of those ducks dying in the air in 2019.
I also think if you're Philip Rivers and you have worked behind a bottom-rated offensive line,
this is a great point,
for the bulk of your career, and you are, 38 years old, and you look at the Colts O-line and actually having protection, maybe you're like, know what? Like, yeah. I've left my family and my 9 kids for this long. I'm gonna trade it.
One more year.
Yes.
One more year. Leave those 9 kids home with, you know, mom
with
and
Tiffany.
They're probably a bevy of nannies.
I doubt that. I think Tiffany's on it. I mean, no shade to the nannies, but or to people who have them. We all got to do us. But I think Tiffany probably is more hands on than the average wag.
Fair enough.
All right, so we're both on board with Rivers. If he's going anywhere, it's to Indy, not buying the Tampa Bay rumors.
No, I mean, I think that Tampa Bay might, I think they'll investigate. It's that's one thing that
sniff around.
They'll sniff around. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think the just saying that the interest is legit can mean anything. Like, that can be that they are interested in at least talking to him, reaching out. The thing it just says to me is like, I don't know if Winston's going to get the front. We can talk about Winston a little bit later.
Let's not go out of order here. We promised Brett we were going to do it to a T. So next up, Amari Cooper is on the market after being the odd person out in a highly publicized sugar daddy situation.
Very well done here. Very well done.
A month ago, Stephen Jones proclaimed that Dak... So I'm going to mention this because, like, there's a lot of people to pay, right? So a month ago, Stephen Jones said that Dak was the team's, quote, QB of the future. So we know he's going to get paid. Side note, when Kimberly Martin, our own Kimberly Martin, sat down with Dak in Miami just, 10 days ago now, 11 days ago?
Feels like 3,500 days
almost
ago.
Almost
2 weeks ago now.
She asked him, and I thought this was an awesome question, when are you going to get paid? And he was like, I don't know. I mean, he said, quote, I'm wondering the same thing, but that he had confidence in his representation and Jerry Jones and the franchise and the team. So we know that Dak is the priority. Byron Jones also has to get paid. But according to DallasNews.com, he is the end of the priority list behind Cooper.
Yep. Yep.
So it feels like Jerry Jones is going to put a ring on it and get his guy.
I think that is probably true. But I mean, this is the, we were talking about this like a year ago, essentially. A year ago that we were talking about this like a year ago, like a calendar year ago. You know what I mean?
With,
like,
Amari Cooper?
That Dallas was going to be in a, remember when be in a situation where we were wondering, like, how are they going to make this work? Because they had so many problems, you know, to solve in terms of who's going to get paid. And they made the choice to give Zeke the big money, which looks worse and worse as time goes
on. It's telling of a philosophy and a culture.
And they also paid Jalen Smith, which I did think was, like, they made him one of the first few guys, which just from a not, again, culture, Dallas, the lore of it, it makes sense. But from a team building perspective, questionable. Now you've got quarterback, your pseudo number one receiver, and your top cornerback, three highly important positions, all hitting the market at once, but they're not going to let Dak go. If they can somehow get an extension done with Dak, then I think they throw the tag on Cooper and be done with it. But I feel like they're going to end up having to tag Dak.
Okay, so I think there's some strategy going on here. I'm buying into a little bit of a conspiracy theory. Number one, I think the Jalen Smith signing was maybe part of the strategy because he did take a discount to play with Dallas and stay with Dallas. And so I think maybe that was the first signing they made, right, of this string.
Yeah.
And so maybe making an example of him. Also, we both talked about Amari Cooper's suspect usage towards the end of the season in postseason, in playoff contending games, right? A little bit suspect. Yes, Cooper set career highs in yards and touchdowns, 8 on the season. But this is a dude who cannot stay healthy.
Yeah.
And the fact that they didn't use him in big moments and that Cooper was asked about it and spoke about it to the media, I think there's going to be some manipulation in trying to get him to take less money because who do you really think the Patriots are going to pay top dollar for you who can't stay healthy? I mean, I do think the Patriots would be a great landing spot because if we talked about before, Amari Cooper, and this is evidenced in your reception perception data, is a technical phenom, but perhaps not the most amazing athlete. And if Tom Brady were to stay in New England, I don't think we're going to talk about him today, but if Tom Brady were to stay in New England, he needs someone who can pick up his own playbook immediately.
Yeah.
And so that would be a nice fit in theory, but I don't think New England's going to put up a bunch of money for a player who can't stay healthy. Or even if they might, Dallas is going to try to argue that he's not going to hit the market and get Michael Thomas money.
I mean, he said, I think a year before the season started that he wanted Michael Thomas money.
Yep.
Well, good luck.
Back it up, bro.
You don't do anything like Michael Thomas does. And I think
they didn't even use you. They didn't make the playoffs. Well, you weren't important enough then.
It wouldn't be an Amari Cooper season if it wasn't fraught with injury questions and questions about where the hell did he go? Because, like, talk about reception perception. That's what he does. He does have technical flashes of technical dominance, but it's never there over the course of a 16-game season, which is why he doesn't post elite separation numbers because he's not that guy over a 16-game season. People will throw will show you the gifts of him turning around a cornerback every now and again, but it just doesn't – you watch the damn games. It doesn't happen over the course of a 16-game season. That is where we're at with him, and it's where we've always been. But here's the thing, though. If he hits the market, the Patriots might not pay him top money, but I think a team like the New York Jets would – open up the frickin' bank to bring in a receiver like Cooper. I think that a guy like Sam Darnold would actually work really well with a receiver like Cooper. I mean, he would make every receiving core in the NFL better. And for that reason, like even if you have, like I do, I have questions about his play. Like there's no doubt that he would make any receiver core better. And for that reason, if he hits the open market, he's gone. I don't think he's coming back to Dallas in any situation if he hits that market. And I think it, even in the team in the division, if he does have like some salty feelings towards the Cowboys, maybe the Eagles pay him money. The Eagles have some cap problems, but he would be a guy that I think fits exactly what they need, like from a health questions again, kind of notwithstanding. And they've got plenty of guys with health questions, but a guy who can be a full field separator, but also a very good vertical threat, which is what this offense has missed essentially for the better part of the last 2 years. I think that's another great fit. So my point here is just if he hits the market, I think he's gone. I think enough, some team will want to pay him.
I like the Jets actually a lot. I think that's a pretty, that's a very astute landing spot and strategy and analysis of his situation in particular. I don't think the Jets, I don't think the Eagles are as good of a fit because of the durability and because there are two players who could do what they need at a much lower cost given their cap space, but we will get to them a little bit later. Melvin Gordon is up next. Now, he moved to LA for the stardom, got cast in a few procedurals, didn't quite reach the fame of his peers, like other starlets reaching the back half of their 20s. Should he call it quits in Cali?
Might be the best one among Brett's write-ups here, if you ask me.
Well, you spoke to Melly.
Yes. Melvin Gordon told me, well, let's say 2 weeks ago at the Super Bowl, that number one, I thought one of his, number one, he wants to stay with the Chargers. That was his first. I said, wake up in 5 months from now, paint me your dream scenario. And his dream scenario was, I've stayed with the Chargers. We've made it work. I thought that's interesting. And I mean, I think at the same time, like, I guess it's not that shocking because it's never seemed like he wants to leave the Chargers. It just seems like the Chargers don't want to pay him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he hits the open market, doesn't find anyone. I really don't think there's going to be anyone that's like wants to pay him big money. And he just returns to LA on a pretty team friendly deal. And also, I thought this was interesting too. I asked him, I like to ask running backs this question because I think it's such a like a rhythm based position. I asked him kind of that theory, and I thought this was his interesting response. He said that's definitely true, and that rhythm starts in camp. To be honest with you, so to try to come in midway through the season, you can't get that time back from camp. Those reps, that time in preseason reps, I mean, that all starts in training camp with me. And honestly, you just can't get that back. And I thought that was interesting that he essentially, by saying that to me, was admitting my holdout was kind of a mistake. It screwed me really for the rest of the season. I mean, he statistically finished the season strong in the last 8 games of the season, caught over 30 passes, scored 7 times. Very confident guy, and I think he definitely believes he's a great running back. He also, you know, does not like the narrative that running backs can be replaced easily, which is uncomfortable because you know, the running back behind him did play quite well. So, overall, I think though he definitely sees that the holdout didn't work in his favor. And I do wonder if he hits the open market, doesn't find a team willing to pay him, and he comes back to the team that he wants to play for, which is the Chargers.
It's interesting because I don't know how it's interesting that he said that to you, but he hasn't really talked about how he wanted to approach the offseason, which is a adjacent issue, right? Like, I want to go back to the team I started with is a very open-ended thing to say. But how he's going to approach the offseason still remains pretty much a mystery. I also like that he brought up the rhythmic nature of the position because he didn't go over 50 total yards until week 9. He's 26 years old, so still pretty much in his prime, despite the knee issues he's had in his past and the amount of wear and tear on those tires. I think, though, that the Falcons are an interesting landing spot. They're likely to loose Devontae Freeman.
Yep.
We know that Gordon has a three down skill set. I think he might be happy to move on, frankly, and he's saying the right thing right now. And kind of, that was a great start. I can move to a team that is also in win now mode, mm-hmm. which the Chargers are rebuilding, restructuring.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, Philip Rivers, we know, is not coming back. Melvin Gordon, I watched an interview with him, and he predicted that Rivers was going to go to Indianapolis just as we are.
Yeah.
So I think that the Falcons would be a place for us to watch, and I like that spot a lot for fantasy purposes as well.
Yeah, that would be great. I think that we could see, depending on, like, if they really do run out Tyrod Taylor in week one, which, you know, they're starting that. That feels like a very February type headline, but it is kind of creeping out there. Like, Anthony Lynn really likes Tyrod Taylor. And if they don't have a rookie that's ready to start right away, or they don't get one of these veterans, maybe they're in like a very run heavy offense, obviously with a run heavy quarterback, having Gordon and Eckler back there would be interesting. But there's plenty of spots, you know, throughout the league that I think, and the Falcons are a very good one, that could easily be a spot that he lands in.
Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill found the perfect relationship.
I don't think either of these guys go anywhere. Like, it is Derrick Henry's another one that I talked to. And he obviously really wants to stay with the Titans. He mm-hmm. really wants to, like, I definitely think he wants to cash in, but that's another one that I don't think the team lets either one of these guys away.
It's tricky because I haven't heard anyone talk about the fact that Jack Conklin, their offensive tackle,
yep.
is also a free agent, and he is, per PFF, the 9th best ranked OT in the league, right? So he should probably
had a good year.
So he is likely to get paid. There's an inventory among trench players as it is, right? And when you look at the Titans, like, that offensive line is something special. Like, it's very much a centerpiece of their offense as a whole. And those dudes, like, go to the Predators games. And I think locally people...
They have Barstool podcast together.
Like, maybe in a national audience, people don't realize it. But locally, regionally, that offensive line is a thing. Like, they are actually celebrities in their city, which is not the norm across the league. So I think Jack Conklin's going to get paid. I believe the Titans have about $60 million in cap space.
Yeah.
And also, Derrick Henry said that, you know, there was that article or that interview that he did where he said that Zeke was the, quote, floor. And Zeke's deal is 6 years, $90 million with $50 million guaranteed. So if Henry is going to try to get Zeke's contract, that's like, what, 11 mil a year? I mean, who knows what the guaranteed money looks like, because that's sort of always the extra. I don't know how the Titans, I agree with you. It feels to me like Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill in this postseason surge, and we always remember, I say this all the time, the thing we saw last, are going to stay on the team and get paid. But I don't know how the math works out if you pay all three of these guys.
Yeah, you mentioned it, the Titans have $48 million in cap space. That is theoretically enough, I think, if they tag it. Just I know Derrick Henry told me he wants to get something done before free agency even starts. Like, he doesn't want to even really test the market, anything like that. I mean, he definitely wants to stay in Tennessee. I think the article where he said that, like, it was a little bit misconstrued. I think that the Titans will end up giving him a deal that is team friendly. It's a tough. I mean, I don't know how to talk about it without, like, just being brutal, because it's a tough look for running backs right now when you've got, like, two guys that just got paid, Todd Gurley and David Johnson, both, it seems like, are kind of on the outs with their teams. Mm-hmm. Very quickly, by the way, like, these guys were just on top of the league 2 minutes ago. The Le'Veon Bell thing was not great for the Jets. Like, the Giants took Saquon Barkley second overall. He's already one of the most highest paid backs in the league, and they didn't go anywhere. This is how teams think. Like, they've not gone anywhere. The Cowboys give all this money to Zeke. They missed the playoffs last year, and it's not
an 8-8 squad.
Yeah, they're very average. And, like, I love Derrick Henry. He's one of my favorite players in the league. One of the guys that I enjoy talking to the most. But it's a tough look for running backs out there right now. And I don't know what his market would look like at all, which is why, again, I think he probably ends up staying with the Titans. And I think that deal ends up being okay for the team and okay for the player. And I think they tag Tannehill, and then we'll see what happens with Conklin. That's a guy that, you're right to point out, could easily move.
All right. Really quickly, just a little. Let's assume Gordon goes to, let's just say he goes to Atlanta, and Derrick Henry stays in Tennessee. Fantasy purposes, Who are you taking first?
Oh, Henry a million times over.
Despite his usage or lack of usage in the passing game.
Yeah. It didn't really matter last year, you know, like, and I think that it's tough.
I don't disagree. That's the argument,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that might not roll over cleanly into 2020. And look, I think they can get him more involved in the passing game. I think
might be something they want to do now.
And yeah, especially with, like, I think one thing that has gone under discussed in all of this is Deion Lewis very unlikely to be with the team in 2020. And, like, I know he's not making much of an impact in fantasy, but he's at least sucking up reps on passing downs. Mm-hmm. And maybe part of the deal with Henry is, hey, we'll give you this big money if you evolve a little bit more in this game. And it's something that he is very willing and wants to do and has said that to me on the record since back almost a year ago now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think when people talk about the difference between the two players, they are the first thing they say is, well, Melvin Gordon catches passes.
Yeah, and it's just like one player has been ultra reliable and like never hurt. And one guy is, he's got plenty of issues in that regard.
Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, these two star-crossed QBs will always be connected to each other because of the 2015 draft. Where should they start their second chapters?
Well, I already told you in a video I did like a couple of months ago now, they were going to be co-starters on the Bears.
Stop.
No, seriously, though. Jameis Winston, let's not forget this other part of it. As we write on the outline, Jameis Winston was blind, but now he can see. My guy, he got LASIK surgery.
That's right. That's right. We don't know if the team requested that he got LASIK surgery. And Bruce Arians had talked about him like squinting to read the scoreboard.
He said, let me see if I can find the exact tweet. But I know Bruce Arians did not comment on it today because he says he does not comment on players' personal business. This whole relationship has gotten very frosty and weird between Arians and Winston, but whatever. I know yesterday I saw a rap sheet put out that essentially Winston's PR person said, you know, he was going to do whatever he needed to do to improve improve his game and take this next step. And this was one of the things. The guy cannot see, okay? Like, he's been squinting on the field since he was in college,
right?
All the time. How did he not do this like 2 years ago?
I mean, so on a real level, I have an eye doctor appointment in a week or two, and I am dreading the possibility of needing glasses. So, like, maybe there's just a vanity issue. I don't want to wear glasses. Like, no offense, but like, it's not my brand. My boy,
Von Miller. Wears contacts. He wears contact lenses. He needs glasses. His whole thing, his whole charity
True,
is about
but, like,
getting
the
glasses.
Contact lenses are such a like pain.
Pain
in
the ass. That's why I still wear the glasses. Like, I can't touch my eye.
If I get diagnosed with having to wear glasses, there's no way I'll wear those over contacts because it's like I can take them off.
Yeah, I mean, just for the 3 hours, you could wear contacts for the 3 hours at the game.
Bro, do you think Jameis Winston is someone to hold up as elite decision making?
Yeah.
Personal life, maybe.
30 turnovers. Like, it's on the field and off the field. So it's totally likely that he's like, nah, I don't want to wear glasses.
Now he got LASIK.
You know what the thing is? I mean, so I had this conversation with two of our social editors, Trevor and Zach Schwartz, yesterday. What would be, we did set a number, but what would be like the number of interceptions that Jameis would have to throw next year to be like how few interceptions does he have to throw for it to be like, okay, this like solved all of his problems.
To me,
if he throws less than 10, like single digits, I'm gonna be like, that solved everything. He couldn't see this whole goddamn time.
Oh, I was gonna go to 18.
No, because the thing is, like, 18 was his previous career high before last year. I mean, he threw 14 and 9 starts in 2018. So I mean, rate wise, but like
that means it's still cutting like half.
Yeah, but so to me, I said it as if he throws single digits, then it's like you cannot chalk. It was LASIK. That was the reason. There is no other excuse.
Also, like, how much, if you are the like LASIK surgery center that did his eyesight, or how much are you like, get 12? Every time he throws an interception next season, they'd be like, oh,
that's just another zero just came off the bottom line here. Now, if he throws like 13, then it's like we have the conversation, but we can't say for sure. But like 13 is like. But and if it's 16 or more, then it's just it doesn't matter.
I think in terms of a landing spot, we're going to see exactly how stubborn Bruce Arians is, because there seems to be nothing, like, no project more infuriating than Jameis Winston to him. Right. But I mean, I think Arians even said, I wrote down a quote, you look at it and there's so much good and so much outright terrible. Outright terrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Outright terrible.
But I do think that Winston is going to stay put in Tampa. And Scott Pioli and I discussed this a couple of weeks ago, and he feels like he doesn't have an this isn't because he has a relationship necessarily with the Tampa Bay front office, but he felt like what makes the most sense, especially with Arians coming back out of retirement and his, you know, reputation of being a QB whisperer, to put Winston on a short term, like 1 to 2 year prove it ish type deal, because you also have an inventory issue. So like, to your earlier point, sure, the team is open to fielding offers. Like, how much of that is nudging Winston to just take the money and stay the starter that they want him to take?
I cannot like get a good read on this situation, because like right before like the last few games of the regular season, it was like, okay, Winston's doing enough to like,
yeah,
to come on back. Like, and then he goes to does the 30 for 30 like, and then it's like, I have no idea. And then you got Arians out there saying things like outright terrible. And if you're Bruce Arians, like, you came back to the NFL for this, like, these are going to be your last times in the NFL. Like, you and putting up with this guy for 2 years. Cause like, unless the LASIK is the skeleton key, he's been the exact same quarterback since college.
There's a great quote today from Jenna Lane at ESPN. She asked Bruce Arians if he felt closer to getting clarity on the QB situation. He said, no, because you don't know who's available. You're just sitting and waiting to see, is there someone available? And is he a better option? That's the problem. You get about 3 days to decide.
That was the thing I read this morning that I couldn't remember. It was just like, what? I mean, so you're not committed to this goofball at all.
The big name that I didn't even put on this outline sounds like Tom Brady to Tampa, confirmed.
I mean... I'm just talking about weak arm.
Winston and his connection to Mariota. Also, like, no one ever talked. I was at the Rose Bowl where the 2015 Rose Bowl where they like played each other.
Oh, the blowing the Winston when he got blown over by the wind.
Yeah, and well, no, the like Mariota was so decisively better, and the Ducks like crushed. I think they put a 50 burger on the on not
Florida
the
Buc-
Florida State, the Seminoles. Thank you.
He's been the same friggin' state. Get out of Florida, man.
There's like a butt fumble esque moment. I mean,
59-20.
How much?
59-20. See? was the final of that game.
So
that was when I was the butt fumble moment was when he like
got blown
he
over.
He got blown. Like he just. I mean, he. I can pull it up, but like it's an audio podcast. Go. You people know what I'm talking about. When Winston got blown over.
I remember I was eating a soft pretzel. Those are delicious, especially in a stadium, and drinking a beer in that moment. And I choked on the pretzel with the beer in my mouth. It's a great combo. When I saw that happen, so it's in my brain. Anyway, Mariota though, like we're talking about Mariota. When we look back, like he had so much promise, and now that dude got Wally pipped by a copy of his own self.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, he's in backup territory.
Yeah.
Still in starter territory.
Kind of. Okay, let's say Bruce Arians is just like, forget it. I'd rather not be just losing my shit for the last two years of my NFL life. I would like to move on and get somebody else, and they do. Where the hell does Winston go?
The Raiders. Let's get weird.
Oh.
I mean, could there be a more antithetical quarterback to Derek Carr than Jameis Winston?
Yeah, just completely overcorrects. Yeah.
But don't you think that that's a John Gruden move? Be like, come to Vegas, baby. I know you like to party. Yeah. Let's go.
We got seafood here.
Yeah.
We got seafood buffets. You pay at the front Raiders. And you get as much seafood as you want.
Get all the crab legs you want at the Sahara. Saturday morning.
Does that exist still?
I don't know.
I think that's the answer. That's a good one.
You're welcome.
Ugh. God.
Well, Mariota's though. I mean,
and like, then that becomes really interesting, because then Carr's, you know, on the market. Then where does he go?
The Chargers.
That could make
lots
sense.
Lots of checkdowns to Austin Eckler.
Uh-huh. Keenan Allen, short area receiver.
And you've got Mike Williams with a big catch radius in theory.
Cool.
I mean,
and Derek Carr's never throwing to Mike Williams. Let's just say that right now.
You know, the two targets he draws per week. I think that might fit.
Gorgeous. He'll be have 100 air yards on two targets.
Well, if you're looking at like realistic landing spots, like I don't think that that's a Winston to Vegas car to LA move is impossible.
I think so too. Now, I know I'm in the room with two Denver Lock. I mean, what's his name? Drew Lock. I forgot about him. Drew Lock truthers in the room. But the Broncos are sitting here with $58 million, ninth most cap space in the NFL. Do they think about getting involved in any of these veteran quarterbacks? I mean,
absolutely not.
You don't think so?
No, this is the time to spend on defense and offensive line. Oh my gosh.
An O-line. That's
Send
what they
Garrett
need.
Bowles to the XFL.
Teams, I really wish the NFL would like have some sort of just situation where they could just like in the middle of the season, like demote guys
like
to the XFL.
You're on the Seattle Dragons now.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
Or the DC Defenders. Real quick on Lock. I talked to Von Miller at the Super Bowl and I asked him, of course, about Drew Lock because of their whole jersey swap situation at the end of December. And he was like, I mean, I know he's not going to trash his QB, but he was really, like, I felt, like, optimistic. And he was like, I think he's got a lot to offer. Like, he's coming along. He's learning a lot. It's his first time in Coach Fangio's system. And I don't know. I feel like, I know I've been a truther, but hearing Von Miller, because I've interviewed Von before, and if he doesn't want to answer a question, he will skate around a question. And he did not waste a moment in hyping up Drew Lock.
I think you guys are probably right. I just thought it was worth asking the question. And I mean, the real answer here that neither of you said was like, John Elway's got like at least a 10% chance or better to prove that one of his quarterback draft picks was worthwhile. They're going to play Drew Lock in 2020.
And Flacco retires, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think after the end of the season that he had that you invest in QB right now. Like, this is the time.
You don't
invest.
Mess with his confidence. Fangio did all that at the beginning of the year anyway. And how did that pan out?
Yeah, like if you need a Chase Daniel or whatever to back him up, sure, I'm sure.
Bring Case Keenum back.
I'm sure. Yeah, he's not doing anything.
It'll be cheap.
So wait, Mariota though.
Who cares?
I mean, Chicago I don't believe it, but I think the only way he doesn't end up a backup is if he plays Mitch. If Mitch plays so poorly that he plays himself out of a starting gig and then Mariota's there, or if there's like an injury midseason and he ends up being the starter.
Doesn't
somewhere.
Mitch and Mariota feel like kind of a little
a
bit the same?
From the 90s.
Well, yeah, but also like a little bit of the same. Like neither one of them is that daring, still make enough mistakes. Like especially Mariota, like he doesn't throw a lot of picks, but he takes awful sacks. They both like can run,
issue.
But like don't.
Yeah.
I think they're too similar. They're like the same person.
Well, Ryan Pace has a type.
I guess so. That's a pretty rough type. I still think Chicago, it's the Dalton zone.
Stop it. Let's go on
but
to
what?
I don't want to do it.
Like
I don't want
that?
It because we can save it for another podcast.
Okay.
I don't want to do it. Stop
okay.
it. I got mad.
Yeah, I know. Clearly. I mean, listen, given what you're looking at here, like you should be so thankful. Have Andy Dalton.
Okay, let's move on. This is another pod situation. We're getting along. Let's not ruin it.
Yeah, good point.
Teddy Bridgewater, can he be someone's first option?
That's a tough one to find a spot for, too.
I'm going to throw a conspiracy theory your way. Another one, because this is the time for it. What do you think of the Taysom Hill conspiracy theories that Sean Payton is just creating a market? Manipulating a market. I know that you and Taysom are like bros and like
we are not bros.
You're definitely bros. You like drink, you know, soda together because he is Mormon.
I don't think Taysom and I would get along off the field very well, like in a bro setting.
Anyway,
I drink too much.
That's I understood. But there's a theory that Sean Payton is just creating this market,
yeah.
Right? Hyping up Hill so that the Saints can move him. And then be fine with Teddy as the backup, who, by the way, we all like to forget, despite the game manager label, did win all five of his starts in relief of Drew Brees. Also had a completion percentage of 65.2.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad.
So why one of these guys, you know, there's also like all of these reports that say, you know, it's not likely that all three of these quarterbacks are going to stay in New Orleans. But like a month ago. 1 month ago, ESPN's Mike Triplett said that it will likely take a, quote, special situation to pry Teddy Bridgewater away from the Saints.
Yeah, I think it's almost impossible just from like a financial perspective. I mean, the Saints always make it work somehow with the salary cap.
Yeah,
right,
they
now,
do.
Right
yeah.
now, they've got $12 million. If Breeze wants to come back and play in 2020, he will be doing it as a New Orleans Saint. Like, that is what the team has said. That is what he has said. So if Breeze comes back, that's the thing, though. I don't know how they fit. Because he's still going to want, Breeze going to come back, he's still going to want to get paid. You know, that's going to happen.
Are you saying that he's not as charitable as his brand might suggest?
I'm just saying, if he's going to come back, he's going to want some money to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay.
We all like a little bit of money to do things. He's going to want to come back. He's going to want to get paid starter level money, at least 20 plus million.
I mean, he's got all that AdvoCare money, though. So
that is true. Bridgewater, I don't know what he was making this past year, but wasn't he the highest paid backup quarterback in the league? That's kind of going to be tough. And then Taysom Hill is the easiest one to keep because, like, I don't think anyone is like. Also, Sean Payton has been hyping up Taysom Hill for like 2 to 3 years now. Has this just been some long con of his? That would be a hell of a conspiracy.
I mean, I feel like this could go either way. It's, first of all, Sean Payton was a scab, so let's not hold the man up as a model of integrity and unable to maybe be a little deceptive.
I'm not. I'm just saying, like, that's a weird, like, long game that he's been playing. If this has all been so that some team sends him a third-round pick for Taysom Hill, because, like, if they slap a first-round tender on Taysom Hill because he's a restricted free agent, nobody is giving them a first. I don't think anyone's giving them a second, and I kind of struggle to think that someone's going to give them a third. Like, he says he wants to, this is what he told me and many other outlets. Is
Taysom, you're speaking
Taysom
about.
Hill told me that he wants to be a starting quarterback. That is the goal, and it just depends on finding a team that he would like it to be the Saints. But if it's not the Saints, some team that envisions him as a starting quarterback. I don't know how a team looks. This is the tough part about the Taysom. Because I think, like, this is an interesting conversation to have. I think the Taysom Hill, like, is he the future quarterback of the Saints or whatever, is an interesting thing to have. Like, has he been just used as a weird everyman gadget player all the while Sean Payton has envisioned him as a mobile, dangerous, weird offensive weapon as his quarterback of the future? With the combined the fact that he has no resume, he's also like sneaky old.
Yeah, he's 29, right?
Yeah, he's there's a lot, like, a weird conversation to have there. The problem is that, as always, the conversation has now been corrupted by bull. And, like, you've got Mike Westhoff, the former Saints special teams coach, saying he's a better thrower than Lamar Jackson. Shut up.
Oh, wait, where is that coming from? Saints camp?
Yeah. Well, former Saints special teams coach.
Okay.
You've also got Pro Football Talk. You got Mike Florio out there calling him a future superstar. Like, what are we doing here? The conversation has jumped the shark a couple of sharks ago. So I don't know.
It's planned.
It could, perhaps. Perhaps.
I think here's what we know. We know that Sean Payton loves shiny new toys. We know that he has a bit of an ego, and we know that he is a offensive creative mastermind. So this can go one of two ways. You can say, okay, well, now you have this shiny new toy that allows you to do all of these gadgety things, and you can be the first to do them. And isn't that exciting? And isn't it a challenge? And doesn't it stroke your ego that you are the talk and the toast of the town? Or even better, on the other side of things, you have a game manager. The challenge is now to be so offensively creative without a gadget that you still win games when inevitably Drew misses a couple of games or down the stretch, his arm strength starts to wane.
Yeah, no, I think there's so many possibilities. And I think that Payton, that's why I kind of side on the fact that I think he at least 80% believes what he's saying.
Sure.
And we'll see. But I mean, here's the bottom line, though, to spin it from a fantasy sense for a minute. Like, if Taysom Hill's ever taken starting quarterback reps for anybody, we're playing him in fantasy, and he's probably going to smash.
We said that last week, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the case here. Now, when it comes to Teddy Bridgewater, I have no idea where he finds a spot.
Then he's a backup. He's a backup.
What about him on the Bears?
Oh, if you have Mitch Trubisky and Teddy Bridgewater, this is not exciting.
Well, let's just be clear. Nothing exciting is happening for the Bears in 2020.
I still think, I told you I wanted Foles. I think that's the best option.
I don't know. Is that exciting?
It's a little bit more
you've
exciting.
You've got the whole flip,
yeah.
Foles, heartthrob thing going on here. I don't know what your situation is
Speaking
with that.
Speaking of heartthrobs, Kenyon Drake got dumped by Miami and immediately had success on the rebound relationship with Arizona. Can the rebound relationship turn into an actual long-term relationship?
Normally, no. But in this sense, I think yes.
I mean, he went Insta official with Arizona earlier this week. You know, he changed his profile picture to one of him like head to toe in Cardinals gear. So I think that's a little hint from Drake himself.
I forgot it's that time of the year.
Hashtag new profile pic.
I forgot it's that time of year where we've got to like divulge into like everybody's. That didn't make any sense. We've got to dive into everybody's Instagram profiles and like make sure this is what we know. Like that this is whether they want to stay with their current team, who's feuding with who. This is great stuff. It's that time of the year.
More great stuff. From general manager Steve Keim. He said, quote, I would certainly love to have Kenyon Drake back. I think he fits in this offense and he really has given us a spark in many ways. And that was per the team's official website. So the question is the David Johnson bit right here.
Yeah. I think David Johnson is gone.
And they're going to eat the money.
I think they probably eat the money. Maybe nobody's going to trade for that contract, right? Yeah. Like that's not going to happen.
I think you're right. That's what I have as well. And then Drake stays in Arizona and
people will decide whether they want to draft the hell out of him in fantasy.
And based on like two December efforts in different cities, people will overdraft him and there you go.
Dalton's like got it. I mean, he's ready to rank him as like his RB5.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, I need to see more than two Decembers over the length of his career to do this nonsense.
Fair enough.
Greg Olson, my buddy.
Your pal Greg.
Recently seen on Bumble coffee dates with the Bills, Skins, and Seahawks. So we also saw him in the booth for the XFL broadcasting announcing over the weekend.
Yeah, of course.
So here's the question about, and I actually asked Greg this when I was in Miami. We're on a boat together, a yacht together, not a barge, a yacht. what's more likely, you in a booth or you on a team? He would not answer the question, though the next day he announced, or it was announced, that he and the Panthers had parted ways. Mm-hmm. So I think here, I think broadcasting is obviously in play, but I think he might go to Washington for one more year, maybe Chris Cooley 2.0 it. Obviously, there's a relationship with Ron Rivera.
The Rivera connection?
Right. And we know that Washington loves to pay their older players, see Vernon Davis. Mm-hmm. I'm not holding my breath for Jordan Reed. I think that market would love to have Olson.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. He definitely like took pride in his relationship like with Cam Newton and bringing that along, another young quarterback in Washington.
Yeah,
that could make sense.
That's a great point too.
Give me Seattle of these options.
Mm.
Like the one I'd want to see would be Seattle.
I mean, for fantasy purposes, that one makes the most sense too.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into a lightning round. Austin Hooper, can he break through to the Ertz, Kelsey, Kittle echelon with a change of location?
Probably not, but this is a weird one where it doesn't seem like the Falcons and him have had like a great negotiation period so far. At least that's been kind of the rumblings. If he changes teams, I mean, there's a bevy of options out there.
There's so much buzz around him going to the Bears because the Trey Burton experiment has been a disaster. In fact, Burton's recovering from hip surgery. And here's a fun fact. The Chicago tight ends were 32nd in receiving yards and touchdowns in 2019.
Like, it wasn't even a situation where like you ever thought about like a Bears tight end in fantasy?
No.
Didn't even have a discussion about it, which is crazy.
So I think he'll probably want to get Ertz type money. I think Chicago's dumb enough to overpay. You've got Indianapolis as an option. The Patriots as an option. I do think he'll probably move on from Atlanta. My best guess at a landing spot is Chicago.
Chicago not flush with cap space,
no,
though. They're down there in the bottom eight or so of teams. So that's going to make it a little difficult. But this is another one I'd look at the Jets. I know they extended Ryan Griffin, but they've got a lot of space. Just give Sam Darnold more weapons to work with. That's one that I would look out for.
Is that a Chris Herndon dig?
Come on, man.
I'm just
come on, man.
Hunter Henry, same question as Hooper, but can he stay healthy?
Let's see him go to the. This is a total just
wish
casting, but go to the Packers.
Packers
need weapons. I would love to see him like throwing, like I said many times last year, throwing to Jimmy Graham is just like throwing a football into a black hole. Get a real player in that spot, and I think you could see a lot of. I mean, I feel like we've been trying to match like a good athletic tight end of the Packers for 100 years, but this season very much said to me like you need to start making Aaron Rodgers' life easier rather than having Aaron Rodgers always make your life easier. having an exceptionally talented tight end like Henry would do the job.
I like the Patriots as a landing spot. He's not as good of a blocker as I would like, assuming Brady stays.
Yeah.
But when Fair. You look at the O-line in New England, right, they had two tackles injured for most of the year. Their center was out for the whole year. So by the time their tackles got healthy, the wide receiving core was dust. So I think that Hunter Henry may not need to be as good of a blocker, assuming the line is healthy in 2020.
Yeah.
So that would be another interesting landing spot.
Either of those two guys, honestly, I think Hooper or Henry would be interesting in New England. And, you know, one thing that we haven't really talked about Brady on this podcast, but he has said like he wants the weapons around him to be better. It's just going to be a squeeze to bring Brady back on a $30+ million deal while also making these weapons a lot better in 1 year. So I still think that situation is quite fascinating to talk about.
Eric Ebron had one short-lived relationship, that was Andrew Luck, that showed what his ceiling could be. Can he reignite that flame with another quarterback?
No.
What about Pittsburgh?
An
aging Ben Roethlisberger. Eric Ebron seems like a very Steelers sort of player.
Really?
I think so.
Sure.
I
got nothing when it comes to Ebron. Like, just he won't really move the needle for me no matter where he lands.
Well, I'm not saying he's going to go somewhere.
Theoretically, yes.
All right. You think he's just going to be without a job?
No, he'll find a job.
AJ Green wasted his 20s in a bad relationship with a cheap partner in a crummy town. Can he live his best life with his next relationship?
Yes, he can, Liz. Let's just say real quick, though, I think there's a very decent chance that he's back in Cincinnati because the franchise is petty. They might just go ahead and tag him. And maybe, you know, the working with Joe Burrow, you know, it reignites some passion and he wants to finish it out with his one and only true love. Or he looks across the division at the Baltimore Ravens and says, like, hey, they already have the thing that I want here in Cincinnati, which is an ascendant young quarterback. Why don't I go be the thing that they're desperately missing in their receiver core, which is an outside the numbers catch point receiver. They have a lot of talented players in Baltimore with Brown, Marquise Brown, that is, all the tight ends that they have there, but they don't have an outside the numbers, like big bodied catch point receiver. And I think like if both these two guys are healthy at once, Marquise Brown, yeah. AJ Green, I don't know how you defend that as a defense with also a running quarterback back there. Like the reason I want Green there is because not only is it interesting for AJ Green, it also staves off concerns about this offense, like regressing because they have just another wrinkle to add to it.
I love that. I think it's a great landing spot. I had only put him as staying in Cincinnati, but well done. Emmanuel Sanders always seeking the bigger spotlight. Can he find another Super Bowl contender to play for? I mean, nah, I don't think so. He's 32 years old. He's coming off of a miraculous recovery from that Achilles tear. He played the second half of the season with a rib injury, and he still lifted the 49ers from weeks 9 through 17. He averaged 3.5 catches and 53 yards per game. His total was 32,482. I think he takes a pay cut to stay in San Francisco and see what he can do in like the twilight of his career.
I think so, too. But he's another one that I could see in New England. Good route runner, separation type guy, works with what Brady does
because
best,
of the money issues.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's going to find a better massive suitor. Payday out there. And I think if he's looking at contenders, the Packers, the Patriots, the 49ers, those are the type of teams that I think he would fit well with. And those are kind of the teams that I think he's limited to looking at. Like, I thought about the Eagles too, but like, doesn't really move the needle that much for them in terms of what they need.
I think New England is interesting because if it's another Super Bowl contender, because of the money issues.
They've also obviously liked him in the past enough to try to pry him away from Pittsburgh all those years ago.
Robbie Anderson put a lot of time into a partner that was pretty rough around the edges. That's Darnold. Will he stay to see the relationship bear fruit or go someplace more stable?
Ooh. He is out for sure. He out.
I don't know where he's going is more stable because this is the player I think lands in Philadelphia. That is my dream landing spot for Robbie Anderson. I mean, the Eagles opened the season assuming that DeSean Jackson and his speed would fix all of their woes. It took a minute, as we all know, for them to readjust. But I think when you look at Robbie Anderson, his nose for the end zone, his 4.4 speed, that would be a welcome addition to Philly's sluggish and not particularly spry receiving core.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. That's an obvious one, I think. And one other one that I'd look at, too. How about the Houston Texans? The Texans, they are obviously fed up with Will Fuller's stuff. His health issues, not being fully available. We know Bill O'Brien, official GM of the Houston Texans, is going for it. They have the 10th most cap space right now. Obviously, I think they'll try to get an extension done with their great quarterback this offseason. But nevertheless, why not another big swing and bring in another speed receiver and they keep on flying down there?
I think that's an interesting landing spot. We'll see.
Probably won't happen, though.
There's another speed, sir. Rashad Perryman, Cinderella end of 2019 without attention on the older step-siblings, Evan and Godwin. BP had a mini breakout. Weeks 1 through 13, 16 receptions, 38 targets, 226 yards and a touchdown. Weeks 14 through 16, 15 receptions out of 26 targets, 285 yards and 4 touchdowns. That was a fantasy playoffs, friends. I will say, from a fantasy perspective, Rashad Perryman, awesome buy low. Before the free agency period starts. So if you're in a dynasty league or a keeper league, go scoop him now, because I think after free agency, his value is only going to skyrocket. I don't imagine him staying in Tampa Bay.
No.
So if you are in one of those longer term leagues, then scoop him before March 17th or make offers to acquire him before March 17th.
Smart. He also finished 2018 pretty well with Baker Mayfield as well. Here you go. After upsetting the Drew Lock truthers early, I'm sending him to Denver. 9th most cap space in the league. They definitely need options in that receiver core, because after Cortland Sutton, it's just a lot. I mean, other than obviously Deshaun Hamilton's rebound breakout 2020 season, which is obviously coming, of course. Obviously. We didn't really need to say it, but I figured it needed to be said. Rashad Perryman could come in and fill the gaping hole, which is that other wide receiver across from Cortland Sutton, give Drew Lock somebody to work with. I think Perryman has proven enough to be like, this is a guy we can rely on as a starting receiver here in the second chapter of his, well, second, third, fourth, I don't know, chapter of his career.
I like that. I think maybe Green Bay is an option.
Sure.
Get rid of Jimmy Graham and GMO, maybe Mercedes Lewis as well. Clear all three of those guys out. Still draft Jalen Reagor out of TCU with the 30th overall pick, but have Perryman there as insurance so that you can add some speed, since the MVS project did not work out too well.
Oh, yeah.
To, again, a receiving core that needs speed. Issue, I will admit, with Perryman going to Green Bay is I'm not a believer in his route running, and I think Aaron Rodgers will take issue with that. But if we're giving this guy numerous chances and we assume he's only insurance to a rookie, I could live with it.
Yeah, these last two guys also, Anderson and Perryman, vertical threats. I could see Arizona being interested in both of them, 13th most cap space in the NFL, and they desperately need to fill in that receiver core. We know how much four wide they wanted to play, started to try the year playing that, and you know it just did not happen. Your boy Damir Bird was out there playing. Just a bevy of snaps. Christian Kirk, I still believe in him as a player. Larry Fitz is coming back, but they'd need a vertical threat here, and Anderson or Perryman could fill that void too.
Well said. That is going to do it for this Valentine's edition of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. We will be back next week with more fantasy foolishness. You can follow us on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. I'm at Liz Loza_FF. That is at Matt Harmon_BYB. We're out, and happy Hearts Day.